Hey, good morning, everybody. So this topic comes up all the time on Shabbos and Yontif, which is basically when a package comes to my house on Shabbos and Yontif, and it would be nice to be able to open it up and use it, am I allowed to do so? So there are really two parts of this question. We're going to explore one part today, and then hopefully next week we'll do the second part. One shaila is, when the package comes to my door, am I allowed to use it, to benefit from it on Shabbos and Yontif? And then the second part of the shaila is, can I order the package, l'chadchila, to arrive on Shabbos or Yontif? Right? Two separate questions, and we'll see how they're connected. I had in mind initially to do both today, hence the title here is Packages on Shabbos, Ordering and Receiving. But then I realized, tefasta meruba lo tefasta, be way too much, overwhelming. Let's focus on one inyan at a time. Yes, all part of the equation. So today we're going to focus on not the ordering of the package, not going on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime and it says it's coming the next day and the next day is Shabbos, that we're going to hold off, Mirtz Hashem, for next week. This week, all about, can I benefit from a package if and when it comes on Shabbos?
Just a quick preliminary question.
Yes.
Can, when the package comes on Shabbos, can you bring it in? Can you bring it in the door and just leave it there in the room?
So we'll see, that's more than a preliminary question. Because really, there's four separate issues when it comes to a package arriving at my door. Issue number one is, am I allowed to benefit from the malacha that was done for me? A non-Jew did a malacha for me, and we know when it comes to the Isser of Amir al-Akum, there are two different Isserim, really. Aleph and Beis. Aleph is, I'm not allowed to instruct the non-Jew to do malacha for me. Beis is, I'm not allowed to get benefit from the malacha that was done for me, even if I didn't ask you to do it. Right, I'm sitting in the dark room. I would love to be able to read right now. And non-Jewish cleaning lady comes in. She turns on the light for me. So I didn't ask her to do it. But I'm not allowed to get hana from a malacha done by a non-Jew for a Jew. So one shaila is, maybe I can't get any benefit from this item because that means I'm benefiting from malacha that was done. What malacha was done to get it to my door? So maybe the malacha of coming from outside the tchum. You know, generally speaking, traveling outside tchum Shabbos is an iser de rabbanin. That's one issue. When we'll delve into what exactly is that iser and what are the ramifications. And the other iserim took place along the way. They were driving it in the UPS truck. Right, or whatever, the Amazon driver was driving into my house.
Does that mean the guy did the malacha for you, or the guy did the malacha, even if the guy did a random malacha, you're benefiting from that's also a problem? I mean, the reason he's delivering it is because he's getting paid, he can tell us if you have your package or not.
Good. These are all good svaras. We're going to delve into that mamish in the very first sif over here in Reishai and Vav. Right? Does it have to daf could be for me, daf could be for a yid, if he's doing it for himself, would it be different? The answer is it would be different. But that's one issue we'll have to tackle. The second issue we have to tackle, I want to go through all four issues. The second issue is, is it muktza?
No love.
Well, I didn't say that, you said that, right?
It's no love.
Okay. If it's nolad, it would be muktzah. Nolad means that it came into the world, so to speak. You know, let's say it was fruit on a tree, and I have reason to believe that the non-Jew picked that fruit and he brought it to my house, right? It's mango season, so he's got a plethora of mangoes, and he wants to give it to his frum neighbor because he knows we love mangoes. But likely, or even if it's not likely, but it's a suffix that he picked it on Shabbos, then you have an issue of muktzah. Okay. Another reason why a package might be muktzah is even if the item inside the package is not muktzah. It's a pair of shoes. Now you might ask, why do they need another pair of shoes? They already have hundreds of them. right? I just have two pairs of shoes and that's sufficient. But some reason, there's always a need for shoes. I might have said this before, but I remember a conversation of Shlomo Yonason Harris. He's like a mashkiach personality in the yeshiva in Chafetz Chaim. So he told over a conversation that a husband and wife were having, where the husband was complaining his wife had too many shoes, and why does she spend more money on another pair of shoes? You have like 87 of them. And she said back, but you spend all this money on svarim, right? You mamish, you know, fill up the bookshelves with all the svarim. So he said, a pretty solid response, well, there's a big difference between svarim and shoes. Svarim, the ma'isa davar shebekedusha, they're heilig, they're svarim. And she said, that's true, but at least I use my shoes. That's ouch, right? Anyway, so you could argue, maybe the item itself is not muktzah. It's a pair of shoes that I would love to wear on Shabbos, or I'd love to wear on Yontif, if it didn't arrive beforehand. But because the way it's packaged, if I can't open the package, so then that would make it muktzah. If I can't open something, that means even though the item inside is usable, and even if I get around the other potential issues of the non-Jew doing malacha for me, or this thing coming from outside the tchum, but if I can't open it, that would mean the package itself is muktzah, and then I couldn't bring it inside the house, at least in its normal way, doing so be a dayan. Anything that's muktzah, we paskin, although it's a machlokus between the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish, we paskin like the Chafetz Chaim, that even if it is muktzah, tiltel begufa would be okay. So to move it with your leg or your elbow, something like that, if it's possible, that would be permissible. So you have an issue of benefiting from malacha done by a non-Jew on your behalf. You have an issue of this item coming from outside the tchum. What restrictions might that present? You have a potential issue of muktzah. And then the fourth question is, even if I could avoid all three of those first concerns, am I really allowed to open the package? Right, I'm tearing the box. There's different issues there of Korea or other potential malacha. So those are all the complications that come up when a package arrives at your door on Shabbos or Yontif.
Or what about the doubt that you may have whether or not the driver is you?
Oh, that's a good question as well. So these questions become a lot more complex when you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Right, because then the assumption is everyone involved in the malacha getting this package to your doorstep, most of them are Jewish. When it comes to living in most places in America, you do have some exceptions maybe, but even in a place like Boca, where there's a high percentage of Jews, non-religious Jews, as long as rove of the place or non-Jewish, you have more than 50% non-Jewish, you could rely on the fact, you could assume halachically that he was not Jewish. Okay, so these are things we have to delve into. Let's jump into the first Mar Makom here. This is Simon Reish Ayin Vav. Says the Mechaber in the very beginning of Reish Ayin Vav. Who's excited about this topic, by the way? Right? Who has clarity on all of these halachos pertaining to packages? Not even the person giving the shir, right? It's a complicated sugya. Okay, so hopefully we'll get more clarity. Says the Mechaber, Ein Yehudi Shidlik Esaner Bishvil Yisrael, Osir Lakol. The non-Jew lights a candle for a Jew. It's Osir for all Jews. Afil L'mishalo Hudluk Bishvilo. So you have a cleaning lady, she turns on the light for the person living in the house. So it's usher for him. And not only that, it's usher for all Jews. Any malacha deraisa, it's going to be an important caveat. Any malacha deraisa done by a non-Jew on behalf of a Jew is usher not only for that person, but for all Yidin. Okay. Says the Ramah, Ve'ein chiluk b'zeh bein kotzav lo sachar o lo kotzav. Makes no difference if they're getting paid for the job or not. Osha so bekablonus o beschirus. Or if they're doing it either bekablanos or beschirus. Now those are words, right? Generally speaking, if you've seen them before, the natural reaction is to do this. Bzzz. You shut down. Kablanos and schirus, or just it makes it sound complicated, right? I once knew what that meant, then I forget what that means. What is kablanos? What is schirus? Kablanos is, I'm paying you for the job. That's kablanos. Right? I'm paying you for the job. I'm not paying you for a particular time, a day, how many hours. I'm paying you for the job. Schirus is, I'm hiring you for the time. And we'll see Mitzvah Shem next week when we get involved with the question of can I order the package to come on Shabbos? This distinction will play a major role. But the Ramah here is saying it makes no difference if this non-Jew is doing a malacha and he's getting paid either as a kablon or a sachir. Dehoel v'Yisrael nenem malacha atzma b'Shabbos. Since the Jew is getting benefit from that malacha that was done on Shabbos, it's going to be osur b'chol inyan. However, im hidliko litzorko, if the non-Jew lights the candle for himself, so the cleaning lady is in the living room, and she can't see, so she turns on the light for herself. In a case like that, mutter l'chol Yisrael li'shtamish l'oro, then Jews can benefit from that light. So if it's done litzorko, the non-Jew does the malacha for him or herself, then I'd be allowed to benefit from that malacha. That's the basic mechaber here in the beginning of Reish Ayin Vav.
Just from a Havana standpoint, what's the fundamental difference between why I, the Jew, can benefit from one versus the other? What's the halachic issue if it's done on my behalf versus it's just done and in the world, so now I can step into it?
So we'll just say the words, right? The Pashut Pshat is the gezeira, this limitation created by Chazal that I can't get benefit from a malacha done by a non-Jew, is only when that malacha is done by a non-Jew on behalf of a Jew. Now, the rationale behind that, right, is that if I'm allowed to get benefit from a malacha, even though I didn't instruct you to do the malacha, so then, lamaisa, I'm going to instruct you to do malacha as well.
Okay.
Right? So the whole issue of getting hana is only if you're doing that malacha for me. If you're doing it for yourself, and we'll see in a moment, even if you're not doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for a group of people, and the majority of those people are non-Jewish, then I'd be allowed to get benefit from that malacha. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, Sivkatan Aleph, Shehidlik. V'hu adin l'chol malacha sheyaseh en Yehudi b'Shabbos b'shvil Yisrael. Right, this case is based on a Mishnah in Shabbos and Kuf Chaf Beis and speaks about lighting the candle, but it's true for any malacha that a non-Jew does for a Jew on Shabbos. The aser lekol lehonos mizeh. It's aser for all Jews to benefit from that malacha. Aser sivkatan beis midir rabbanin. Right, it's a rabbinic restriction not to get benefit from that malacha. De'im yehe mutter lehonos yomer lod lahadlik. Because if Chazal allowed us to get benefit from malacha done by a non-Jew, so then, eventually, we would just ask them to do malacha, and that would be a violation of a mir la'akum. Okay. Sifkat and Gimel. So Sifkat and Gimel is where the Mechaber said, Asur l'kol afilu l'mi shelo hudlak bishvilo. Even though it wasn't done for me, but since it was done for a Jew, it's asur for all Yidden. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'lo dami l'mishahuva bishvilo mechutz l'tchum b'Shabbos demutter la'acher." This is not the same halacha that we're going to see momentarily. That when a non-Jew brings something from outside the tchum on Shabbos, and he's bringing it for you, there the halacha is: it's only you that can't use it. But for other Jews, they would be allowed to use it, like we'll see in Shin Chaf Hei. What's the difference? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because techumin derabbanan, the whole conversation of techumin, and we do know there is an opinion in the Rishonim that says the techum, not of 2,000 amos, but of shnayim asar mil, right, 12 mil, that might be a deraisa. But because there's nowhere explicit in the Torah where it mentions the isser of techum, even if you were to assume it's a deraisa, All issues of Tchum have the same halacha, which is, if it was brought from outside the Tchum for me, it's only usur to me. But for other Jews, they could benefit from it because the Isser of Tchumim generally are derabbanan. V'chein kol Isser derabbanan sh'os en Yehudi bishvil Yisrael. And this is true for any derabbanan an non-Jew does for a Jew. Mutter la'acher shalo nasa bishvilo. It's mutter for another Yid, right, if it wasn't done for you. So we have a major nafkum in between a non-Jew doing a malacha deraisa for a Jew and a non-Jew doing a malacha derabbanan for a Jew. Doing a malacha derabbanan makes it only problematic for the person, or we assume also for his family that it was done for, but for anyone else, there would be no restrictions. Okay. So how about the following case? I'm sitting in the living room and the cleaning lady walks in, doesn't know that I'm there. So wanting to save money on electricity, she turns off the light. And what else would I be doing in the living room other than reading my Ketzos HaChoshen, Avada, Chazering the Ketzos? So then I say, oh no, I can't see anymore. Can you turn on the light? Well, let's say I don't say anything, right? Let's just focus on getting benefit from the malacha. She realizes, based on my groaning, you know, that I'm actually there. Oh, I'm so sorry. And she turns on the light for me. Am I allowed to stay there and continue learning? So based on what we've said, the answer should be no, because that's called benefiting from a malacha that was done for you. And even if the light was an LED where you could assume it's only a malacha derabbanan, but a malacha derabbanan done for me is usur for me.
As you say, technically in that case, she's doing it to reverse her own mistake.
Rabbi Hecht was just mechaven to the Elia Rabbah. Asherecha. Asherecha b'tov lach. Asherecha b'olam hazeh b'tov lach b'olam habo. Take a look at the Bir Lacha here. This is the bottom of Reish Ayin Vav. Right? The very bottom Bir Lacha in Reish Ayin Vav. In the middle. Kosev El Yeraba. Eino Yehudi Sheratu L'Sakei Ner Shel Yisrael. Non-Jew wanting to fix the Ner of a Yisrael. Right? The flame is not so gishmak, so they want to just fix it. V'nichbe b'yodo. And by accident, they extinguish the flame. So the chazer v'hedliko, and they go back and they light it again. Nira li demutter, says El Yeraba, it appears to me that it would not be problematic to continue using that ore. Dezeh havi kemo letzarko, because even though she's doing it for you technically, but we almost view it as that she's doing it for herself. Kevin shenichve biyado, since she was the one who, by accident, extinguished the flame. So very interesting idea here, that even when a malacha is done for you, and this is true even for malacha deraisa, if they're doing it for you only to rectify a mistake they made, then that's considered litzarko. So one example of this might be, my luggage, for some reason, wasn't coming off the plane when I arrived Thursday evening. And it turns out the luggage was sent to Cambodia, right? We had that one time with the car seat. It wasn't Cambodia, but just some random place. Like, how did the car seat get over there? And you speak to the people there, and they explain, we're going to get it to you as soon as we possibly can. And it turns out that they deliver it on Shabbos. So potentially, based on this El Yerabi, you could say, even before we address the other issues of doing a malacha on your behalf, or really we are addressing that issue, or coming from outside the tchum, is it muktza? The answer just might be, that's considered litzarko. They're fixing their mistake, and therefore benefiting from that malacha would not be an issue. So very interesting and practical application of the El Yeraba. What's that? That's a good point. That's a good point. Let's say it was luggage with clothing that could be used on Shabbos.
My daughter, when she was an infant, the only way she'd fall asleep, you'd put her in the car seat and just rock it on the floor.
That's a good example. There you have it. There you have it. Okay. Let's jump for a moment here now to Shin Chav Hei.
Can you argue that every driver doing deliveries is doing it with Tzarka, he's getting paid for it, that's his parnasa, he's doing it for himself?
So you could argue that, and we're going to see that Svara played out. The reason why it's not so simple is based on what the Rama said,
right?
When the non-Jew lights the candle, he says it makes no difference if he's getting paid for it or not getting paid for it, if he's a Kablin. It sounds like even if that's his job.
The Rama's exception was that his job is for you.
In contrast to?
To him working for himself. I don't care if I drop it off at your front step, your driveway, or on the street.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to do, meaning the Jew's not paying me, Amazon's paying me. Okay. I happen to be delivering it to your house.
So these are all very cogent distinctions we'll have to arrive at, Amir Tzashem.
Right.
Anyway, when it comes to this whole topic of benefiting from a malacha done by a non-Jew, we know that Siman Reish Ayin Vav and Siman Shin Chaf Hei are sister simanim, right? They both speak about this topic. So in Shin Chaf Hei, Sif Vav, the Mechaber writes as follows. Im Liket Vitzod Bishvil Yisrael. If a non-Jew, let's say, picks fruits or he traps fish or something on behalf of a Jew, O Bishvil Yisrael Ve'en Yehudi, or even if he's doing it for Jews and non-Jews, but there's no majority of non-Jews he's doing it for, Tzarech lahamtin le'erev b'kedei she'yasu. So here, we see the halacha is not only can I not benefit from that malacha on Shabbos, I have to wait after Shabbos b'kedei she'yasu, which means the amount of time that it took him to do that malacha, let's say altogether it took an hour and a half, I would have to wait an hour and a half after Shabbos to benefit from that malacha. That's what the Mechaber is saying over here. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkat and Chaf Hei, Tzorech Lahamtin, you have to wait. Hainu afilu Yisrael acher shalo nilkat bishvilo. That means, even for another Jew, where he didn't take the mangoes off the tree for me, however, kiven de osam melacha de raisa bishvil Yisrael, since the melacha de raisa was done for a Jew, osir lekol lehonos ad motzei Shabbos b'kadeshi osu. It's osir for all Jews until motzei Shabbos, after waiting the time of kadeshi osu. Okay, now there's an interesting question here. How do you calculate kadeshi osu? Is that a very practical cheshbin of how much time it would take him to drive to the orchard and then do the entire malacha of picking all the fruit and then loading it back up and driving back? Now, the driving is not really the malacha I'm benefiting from, you could argue. Or is it just the actual malacha itself? Further, you could add to that, when you have questions of Amazon or UPS, so if it's delivered to me and we're concerned that it's considered malacha that was done for me, and therefore I can't benefit from that malacha on Shabbos, and I have to wait Kedei Shiasa after Shabbos, so how do I calculate Kedei Shiasa? It was shipped from China, right? So that's a long journey. All right, so it comes to my house on Shabbos. I'm like, I wish it would have arrived tomorrow. Now I have to wait a week, right? What's Kadesh Yasa when it comes from China? So you could argue, and this is what we say halacha lemaisa. It's only the added malacha, meaning even if we're concerned that there's a real problem here benefiting from that malacha, it's only the added malacha that was done for me. Meaning when they're shipping something from China, it's not like they have a special plane, right? Oh, this is going to the light mishpacha. So this plane is flying out for the light mishpacha. They have hundreds or thousands of items that's all being shipped together. You could argue maybe it's only the last three blocks where there's malacha that's unique for me. In which case, Kadesh Yasa might be 5 minutes, even though it's coming from China. Okay, but we see from Shin Chaf Hei this idea of Kadesh Yasa. Now, there does seem to be a potential leniency in general that we find in Reish Nun Beis. Reish Nun Beis Sif Dalid writes as follows. Kol shekotzatz. Kotzatz is the same thing as kablonos, where you basically make up a price, and the example would be you bring your clothing to a tailor to patch up a hole or something, so you're paying him for the job. Afo pi sheyas en Yehudi melacha b'Shabbos, even though he does that melacha on Shabbos. So for example, you drop it off Wednesday, and they tell you, it'll be ready at some point in the next few days. We'll let you know. Or they have a special service. We'll bring it to your house when it's done. Perfect. So what ends up happening is, the tailor, the non-Jewish tailor, does the melacha on Shabbos, and then he brings it over. Mutter li Yisroel, right? So what does he do? He rings the doorbell. Everyone's a little bit surprised. Then you open the door, and he says, here you go. And then you start doing this. I don't know if I can touch it. Can I take it? Right? Can you just put it down on my couch? And then he looks at you as you're, why can't you just take the clothing? It's our Sabbath. No. Right. Anyway, so he comes to your house, says the Mechaber, Mutter li Yisroel lilbosh hakli b'Shabbos atzma. You'd be allowed to wear that clothing on Shabbos itself. Why? D'chol shekotzas adaite d'nafshe k'ovid. Because you made up with him, you're going to pay him $30 to fix the jacket or the pants. And he has his own schedule, so he's choosing to do it on Saturday because that works out best for him. Daite de nafshe ka'ovid. So that's what the Mechaber writes. Sounds like an amazing chiddush, no? You know that he did the malacha for you, and he brings it to you on Shabbos. So that sounds like the classic case of Reish Ayin Vav, of lighting the candle for you. He did the malacha for you. How can I benefit from that melacha? So the Ramah comes along and says, V'yesh osr in the love show. Some argue and say that it would not be permitted to wear that clothing on Shabbos. Kol she'adu v'shen Yehudi gomoro b'Shabbos. As long as you know he actually did this melacha on Shabbos.
It's practical now.
Oh, one second. V'tzorich lahamtin b'motzei Shabbos b'kadei she'yasa. And it would be the same halacha as anything else that a non-Jew does for you. I have to wait until after Shabbos, the time it took him to do that melacha. V'hochi nohug l'chadchila, and this is how we do it, ideally, l'chadchila, im lo shitzarech alav b'Shabbos, unless you really need it on Shabbos. She'oz yesh l'hokel, meaning the other 87 pair of shoes I have, they just don't really work. Finally, these shoes came, right? Or, I have the outfit for Friday night and Shabbos day, but I have nothing for Shalosh Shudas. Sorry, I'm being so cynical over here, I apologize. If there's a real tzorich though, the Ramah is saying, you're allowed to rely on the opinion of the Mechaber. Okay? But what's bothersome is, where's the Mechaber coming from? Why would this be any different than the case in Reish Ayin Vav when he lights the candle for you? So take a look here. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Chav Zayin. He says, V'lo dami l'mashi mevur b'siman Reish Ayin Vav. This is not similar to where the non-Jew lights the candle for you. De'en Yehudi shehidlik ner bishvil Yisrael afilu im hayo al yedei ketzitza. There the Ramah spelled out that even if he's just getting paid for an overall job, it's asur lishtamesh la'ora. You can't benefit from that light. So why is this case different? Dehacha afal gav sheyisro nena b'levishoso mimelecha Shabbos. Here, even though I'm benefiting from now wearing this clothing, and I can only do this because you did your melacha of sewing on Shabbos, mikol makom, Eino Yehudi lo ovad b'Shabbos bishvil hanos Yisrael. The non-Jew wasn't doing this melacha on Shabbos for the benefit of the Jew. Rak adaitei d'nafshei l'maher l'hashlem pulaso. He didn't have to bring it back to you on Saturday. He was doing it for his own schedule. He wanted to take off Sunday, so he wanted to quickly finish everything up on Saturday and bring it to you. Masha ein kein hosom, in contrast to the case of lighting the candle. Hadlakoso bishabis hayakadesh yishtamish bo yisrol achshav. There, when he was lighting the candle, he was doing so that you, the Jew, should be able to use the light right now. And that's why, in the case of lighting the candle, you cannot benefit from it, even though that's all part of the non-Jew's job description. But when it comes to the case of Resh Nun Beis, he did malacha to finish my clothing, I'm allowed to wear that clothing, because it was a daite lenafshe, he was doing it for his own schedule. It was not done on Shabbos for the Hanos Yisrael. Can someone articulate in English, preferably, what exactly is this distinction?
He chose to stick the Jews' clothing into the schedule at this time, based on his own...
So why is that different than me choosing to turn on the light for you?
Because you turn on the light for me when I need it right now. You see me, and your choice to do it now is on my behalf for me needing it now. If I'm a tailor sitting in a shop and I have 20 pieces of clothing, I just write out a schedule so that I'm done by 5 p.m. on Saturday, so the Jews happen to have it done at 3 o'clock.
Well, that is that I'm not doing it for you to use now. I'm doing it because you might need this in 3 weeks from now to wear. I don't know when you need it. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it.
I'm doing it because I'm finishing my job.
Thing, but not for something for you to use now today.
Right, meaning this, what's that?
Goy does it for his own benefit.
He's doing it for his own benefit. So even though when I'm lighting the candle, you could also argue, I'm doing it for my own benefit. It's part of my job. I don't want to lose my job. But it's there, the what timing. I'm doing, but Etzim is more for you.
It's more like the timing that he's choosing to do it now so that he can make money right now for his own self. Meaning it's not, he doesn't
Well, he's making money either way. He wants so to do it now for his schedule.
That's the point. He's making money anyways. He's sticking it in now.
The closer analogy of the tailor to the candle, the tailor knows, I need this suit to wear for a third meal. So I've got to have this suit done so that you can wear a third meal.
Oh, meaning that if you were to think of a case where the tailor doing the malacha for the Jew on Shabbos would be usher just like the light, is in a situation where the tailor knows the Jew needs it right now. So Mamash doing it for you, because you're going to be the special guest speaker at third meal. So I have to have my new suit.
That's how he ends off here, no?
What would be yes. If you did him on Sunday,
if there's a what?
The key before was, you know, he could have done that Sunday on a Tuesday, but he chose to do on Saturday to get it out of the way. What if you gave him on Sunday, and he had the whole week to do it, but he's spaced out. How much of that is this back to that by Saturday? And now we have to do it on Saturday. He could have done it earlier, but now he has to do it on Saturday. What would that have done?
That's a good question. We're going to see. That's going to be, I think, more next week's focus of, you know, what's considered me instructing you to do malacha on Shabbos. And if I give you plenty of time... Right, so we're going to see halacha lemaisa, as long as you give him plenty of time, for whatever reason he ends up choosing to do it on Shabbos, even if it's because he's spaced out or he got busy.
Now he's got to get it done today.
But lemaisa, that's all within his world, his cheshbon. So
like a gardener coming on Shabbos. He's paid for the month. He can choose to come on Wednesday or Thursday. It's not. I don't need him here on Shabbos.
So that's
true. He scheduled
true.
Me on a Saturday. That's his tzorah.
Right, but we're going to see that gets involved with a different sif here in Resh Nun Beis, which is if malacha is happening on my property, then there could be other issues of marasayin.
It's a separate issue, but I'm just saying, Lagavi, this
exactly,
issue.
Exactly.
That's his own tzorah.
So bottom line is, the answer is that in order to understand this distinction, it does require some movement of the thumbs, right? But I think we have a basic feel. I'm getting some feedback over here.
I just remember us discussing this before about the gardener on Shabbos. I remember it was like Mara Sarin, but I think at the end of the day it's okay. From what that was what I remember. Okay.
Maybe like, I've evolved the Sims then. Yeah. I mean, it really gets more into the shaila of construction and these types of things happening on your property. We'll get there as well. These are all good, relevant topics.
Delivery truck is pulling onto your
The Amazon truck ain't pulling up. His truck is running on the street and he's out in and out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, how about this? Let's pretend we haven't seen any source of melacha taking place on your property, because that brings us to a whole other issue of Marisayan. Let's hold off on that for now. Anyway, so we have this distinction here between the tailor and the case of turning on the light, and we'll have to see this plays a role as well. Anyway, what's happening today is we're basically setting up so many guiding principles, we're not going to have time to do anything else. That's really what's happening here.
Can we make the argument that in today's era of mass production, nobody really does anything for anyone else?
That's a very sad commentary. So you could definitely argue that. It's interesting that because the Mishnah Berurah speaks about a case where, let's say, he's not making this clothing for you, but rather he's making clothing to sell. So in that case, it would not be considered doing melacha for a Jew unless, what kind of clothing am I making? I manufacture kapotos. Right? And therefore the vast... Oh, so for the Amazon driver, you're right. And this gets back involved with the other question of, could you say the Amazon driver is more removed because that's not similar to the case of lighting the candle for you? It's not similar to the case of finishing off the suit, because I don't know who you are. You're just one of 87 different addresses I have to drop off a box at. Yes, we're going to get there. I don't know when, though. Yes. Well, that's why I think we have those signs in the kitchen, right? The rules in the house, smile, respect each other, right? Live today as if it was your last. Go through all of that. No, so the truth is there are certain restrictions you have to inform them of, certain things they would not be allowed to do on Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem will get there as well. Yes, Rav Shmuel.
Even for Shabbos, they're not shown for Shabbos, they come a little later and they bring wine. Right?
Yes, this would actually be very connected to that question. If someone comes to your house on Shabbos, and I didn't realize they were going to drive, but it turns out unfortunately they did, and they bring wine or some kosher cookies or chocolate with them, we'd have a very similar question, right? Benefiting from malacha that was done on Shabbos, and depending from how far away they were driving, it could be the same question of benefiting from something that came from outside the tchum, you know? So here's what I want to do for now. I think we got a lot of ideas floating around, cholent. I want to quickly summarize and maybe call it here. We'll continue next time getting involved with the issues of tchum and muktzah, and more practical applications. But at least what we discuss for now, as we said, generally speaking, when a non-Jew does a malacha deraisa for a Jew, or even for a group of people, but the majority of them are Jewish, that is aser for all Jews to benefit from on Shabbos. That's the general halacha of hana from malacha done by a non-Jew. When a non-Jew does a malacha derabanan for a Jew, so then we say it's a lot more makel that only for that person or his household, then we say they can't benefit from it. But for others, other Jews, they could benefit from that malacha derabanan. Furthermore, we explain that whenever it's usher to benefit from malacha that was done on Shabbos, it's usher not only on Shabbos, but you have to wait kedei shiyasa, the time that it took to do the malacha. So if that's 15 minutes or hour and a half, you have to wait that time after Shabbos to be able to benefit from that malacha. And then we concluded with seeing this distinction. There could be this idea that not all malacha done for a Jew is created equal. When they're right there turning on the light for you, so then that's really malacha done for you. And even though they're getting paid and they might want to just keep their job, they don't care so much about you, maybe, but they're doing the malacha for you. in contrast to someone who chooses to finish off the suit, or a mechanic that chooses to finish off your car, those types of things, we don't really view that as being done for you, and therefore there's more room to be makel, at least in the case of need, to be able to use that on Shabbos. The last point is the bir lacha we saw, which is also very important. If the malacha being done for you is only because the non-Jew feels he made a mistake, and therefore he's rectifying that mistake, so that's not considered being done for you. Rather, we view that as a malacha letzorko, for his own need, and that you can benefit from. To be continued. Have a wonderful day.